Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein. Shanika Gooden loves to move, and she does so with talent, style, and class. A passionate dancer and consummate performer, she grew up in Atlanta and now calls New York City home, earning her living appearing on and off Broadway. She began her career a few short years ago. Her first major professional job was with the national tour of Bring It On the Musical. That was in 2011. And that led to her Broadway debut in that show a year later. Shanika's Broadway credits also include Cinderella, as well as the national tour for Matilda the Musical. And by the way, she's wrapping up a three-month contract as part of the ensemble of the Broadway mega hit Hamilton. Shanika performed with the American Dance Machine for the 21st Century. That's where I saw her and was blown away by the singing, dancing, and acting. She made her film debut in 2015 in Ted 2. Shanika graduated magna cum laude from Pittsburgh's Point Park University with a BFA in dance and walked, or should I say, danced off, with a 2011 Outstanding Senior Award. Throughout her college career, she performed works by such esteemed choreographers as Martha Graham, Bill T. Jones, David Parsons. It's a pleasure to meet and get to know Shanika Gooden, so thanks so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited about this.
So recently, I interviewed Nikki Fiert Atkins, founder and producing artistic director of the American Dance Machine for the 21st Century, a woman you've worked for. She mentioned she came out of the womb dancing. Is that true for you too?
I believe so, for sure. I mean, my father was actually a break dancer.
Really?
So I feel like it was, you know, in my blood to move and to dance. And then I found out last year after having a little conversation with my grandmother that she actually took modern dance in her elementary school in Atlanta. So she's always had a love for it as well. And she's the one who actually put me in dance when I was 3 years old.
Now, that's what Nikki said, too, that she started taking lessons at three. That just seems crazy to me.
Oh, no, that's actually pretty normal, especially for girls. Some guys typically start a little later, but majority of the ladies that I know, they all started like 3, 4, you know, some 7, some even as late as 13. And I have a friend who was 13 and now she's incredible. So, of course, that depends on the drive and the fight. But yeah, 3 years old.
So that was not a chore for you. Also, you didn't know any better, right?
Right.
Not that you felt like you were missing out on something, but that it was it kind of an all-consuming childhood in that sense?
Oh, definitely.
Dance all the time?
Yeah, all dance all the time, especially for me because I competed starting at age, oh my goodness, maybe 6 all the way to 18. I did competitive dance with especially the convention, New York City Dance Alliance, which is well known all over the nation, even now internationally. And I also went to performing arts elementary school and high school. Mm-hmm. So on top of dancing during the day at school, doing all of my academics, which at both of the elementary and high school I had to maintain a 3.5 GPA. And then after school, I would go to dance class with a competitive team. And then we would compete throughout the season, probably in the spring, and go to a nationals that summer. Very awesome. So it was, of course, to have that type of life, you have to at some point decide that it's not just going to be recreational. It's a very rigorous schedule. Mm-hmm. But I think that even if I had chosen to not dance as a career, it prepared me for life experience because it taught me how to juggle a schedule. It taught me how to multitask. It taught me how to still keep up with my academics, but at the same time, you know, be involved in extracurricular activities and maintain them both at a high level.
So your parents knew that they had a talented child.
I would hope so. All the money they spent. It's pretty expensive, too, especially when you get into the competitive dance. It can be very, very expensive. But I did receive scholarships through both my dance studio as well as I am a Hank Aaron Chasing the Dream Scholar. Probably got that scholarship maybe 3 times. The first time that I was chosen, someone submitted me for the program secretly. And then they contacted my mother. I received the packet. I had to do an essay. I had to do a breakdown of how much it costs. And they want the child to do it. They don't want the parent to fill out the paperwork at all.
And how old were you when you won that?
I probably started receiving that the first time. I would like to say probably like 9 years old. the first time, but they want to hear from the kids so that they know it's something that they really want to do.
Wow.
And through that program, I even met Hank Aaron and got to go to the Braves games for free and sit in the skybox. And yeah, it was pretty incredible. But I'm grateful for that because of that, I was able to take private ballet classes and it helped me to, you know, push forward at an even higher level than, you know, like just regular 9 and 10 year olds.
You know, you said something about ballet, and I was going to talk to you about this at some point in the conversation about Misty Copeland.
Oh, yes.
And the huge deal that was made about her. Forget her talent for a second, but, you know, the focus being the fact that she's an African-American woman. And in her words, she is very muscular. She has a big chest. Mm-hmm. You know, she was saying she doesn't look like your typical mm-hmm. ballet dancer. How, if in any way, did that impact you? Not Misty Copeland per se, but being African-American and taking ballet.
For me, especially growing up in Atlanta, which is a very diverse city, especially because I'm literally right outside the city. So I didn't necessarily grow up in the country, which is a little bit more segregated.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up right outside the city in DeKalb County. So my school was very mixed. But then my home studio was actually predominantly African-American. Both of my dance teachers are African-American and they graduated from Southern Methodist University, and which is not a hugely diverse school. But through that, they always taught us to just be very proud about being African-American women in this industry. But at the same time, remembering that you can't just be good. You have to be great.
You have to be even better.
You have to be great so that those stereotypes are immediately cut down right when you walk in the room. They know that you're ready. They always taught us to look professional and to have professionalism. And I have taken that all the way through from when I first met them. I met them at age 4. All the way through till now, and they still come and support me, and I still, you know, look up to them for that fact, and they still teach that in the studios. It's very, very important.
But the fact of the matter is that there were no role models, I'm guessing, for Misty Copeland. Was ballet your first love, or it was just dance in general?
For me, it was dance in general, especially, like I said, going back once again, my home studio. And the reason I talk about it so much, because that, you know, that it, my heart is there.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I learned artistry. That's where I learned technique. That was the first place to hone in on my skills. It was dance in general, and we were taught to be versatile. I definitely feel that by teaching versatility to children at a young age, or anybody that's pursuing this thing, not just dance, but arts, period, the more that you teach them versatility,
mm-hmm.
the more that they become open to many more experiences instead of, you know, necessarily pigeonholing
themselves. I was just going to use that word.
Into mm-hmm. one box.
Mm-hmm.
And so I grew up, we went to see Alvin Ailey every year at the Fox Theater in Atlanta. And I grew up watching these women and how they had technique, but at the same time, they had this fire and power about them that I personally necessarily didn't see from classical ballet at the time. Now, classical ballet has turned around and they're doing more contemporary works, which is allowing the ballerinas to experience what it feels to have that fire,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to really feel what movement feels like and not just taking the classic line and changing the aesthetic a little bit. At that time, I was more intrigued by modern dance, and I was more intrigued by those women of Ailey because, like I said, they have both the technique, but at the same time, that power
that a lot
of modern dancers and contemporary dancers had. So if I may say what was my first influence, it would have been that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, growing up in the convention world and the girls that were older than me and seeing how they were so versatile, how they could go in one dance room and they could pump out a jazz combination, but then they could go in the ballet room and they could have that technique, but then they could go and put point shoes on. You know, the fact that they could do all of these things, I said, I want to do that. I want to be able to do everything so that no matter what direction I choose to go in and dance, even with hip hop, I can say I can do it.
If you're just joining us, my guest today is dancer and actress and singer, Shanika Gooden. When was your first paying gig?
My first paying gig, I would say like major, because it depends on what you clarify that as, like, because I also choreographed when I was younger. They encouraged us to do that. And I also taught. So when I was on scholarship at my studio, part of your duties as a scholarship member was to also learn to teach dance.
And you're how
students.
Old? You're a teenager.
Yeah, I was a teenager at that
right.
time. So maybe like 13, 14, around that age. And then the more that they saw, like, oh, well, she kind of likes doing this, you know, like, what do you think about next year, you know, possibly teaching a class? So then I would come in and assist the teacher and teach the class, and then I would make money doing that. And then eventually, the older I got, I would start to choreograph at the elementary school of the arts, which is where I went to, and then they would pay me to do that.
You were giving back.
So I would, I guess you would say, in a way, that was kind of my first paying gig, choreographing, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. is so interesting because I hardly do it now anymore. But my first professional paying gig was actually for the Martin Luther King Monumental Life program that they had when they put up his statue in the National Mall. Mm-hmm. And they did like a whole entire presentation, and I was a part of that. And that was the first gig I had coming out of college. And I was so excited about it because I was like, wow, a lot of people don't get to work immediately after they graduate from school. And that was my first paying gig. And then I did like a random music video as my next one.
But when you went to college, you picked a specific school to continue the focus on dance.
Yes. I applied for 5 schools, and Point Park actually wasn't my top pick at the time.
You wanted it to be a well-rounded education. In other words, you weren't going to go to, and I use this term in quotes, like a technical or vocational school.
Or like a conservatory.
Exactly.
Like, oh, I wanted to go to Juilliard for sure. That was my number one choice. I wanted to go to Juilliard. I had a great audition, got all the way through the interview process, which is the last part of the entire day of audition day. And I felt like it. I was like, oh, my goodness, I'm going to go here. I'm going to get in. And then when I didn't get in, you know, life changed and it turned a different direction. I was like, OK, so what should I do? And one of the guys who grew up with me in Atlanta, we went to the same high school. His name is Major Nesby. He went to Point Park. He was going there at the time, and he encouraged me. He was like, you know, sis, because I'm like his little sister. He was like, you should really think about coming here. He was like, this program has been great. I know it's not one of your first choices, even though at the time it was the second. It was rated the second best dance program. I didn't necessarily want to go to Pittsburgh. I wanted to be in New York City.
I get that.
But then when I got there, you know, I spoke to my mother and my father and some of my mentors about it, and I was like, okay, well, look, I'll try Point Park for a year, and then I'm going to go and re-audition for Juilliard, where I really wanted to be. But then when I got there, it changed my life. It changed my life. One thing being, you know, I think a lot of performers, especially their senior year, and especially with the legacy that Juilliard has, you think that that's like your end-all, be-all. But I encouraged them to, once again, to stay open. And I'm so glad that I applied to 5 other schools, because what if I didn't? I wouldn't have gotten a college education mm-hmm. and missed out on an experience. And when I went there and I just like said, okay, I'm just going to go here. I'm going to see what's up. It changed my life. The teachers were incredible. They really, really, you know, broke me down to pick me back up and turn me into the artist that I am today. And once again, just the life experiences, learning what it's like to be on my own. And then the fact that you're in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and there's nothing to do but to focus on your craft and what you're doing. I actually think that was better for me, because since I love New York City so much and I have been coming here like every summer to compete, I was so used to the city and I knew what it had to offer beyond just school. And I just don't know if I would have been necessarily as focused for me personally.
Got
I don't
it.
Know if I would have mm-hmm. been as focused. And I was forced to really be focused there. And it was great. It turned out to be a great experience. I'm so glad that, you know, that, and I say that that was spiritual, divine intervention. I'm so glad that, like, you know,
it worked out the way it was supposed to.
Exactly.
So you graduate, and that's in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you do? You obviously know that you want to make dance a career. So then it was like, see you Atlanta, see you Pittsburgh. I'm on my way to the Big Apple.
Oh, well, what was interesting was the last semester of my senior year, I said, okay, how can I create some options for myself? I auditioned for an agency. So Block New York, they have an LA office, and then they have a Block South, which is the Atlanta office. I had friends that were already signed to Block South at the time. They were signed to them when we were in high school together. So I knew I had connections there, and one of my friends, you know, messaged me and she was like, hey, they're looking for new people, especially people with, you know, that are technicians that like have the technique. You should come in. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, even though my focus at the time was on concert dance, I wanted to be a concert dancer. And I wanted to do, you know.
I don't know what that means.
If someone says that they're concert dancers, that's like people that are in ALEE. That's like Missy Copeland, who is a part of, you know, these major companies, dance companies.
Oh, I never heard that expression.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I wanted to be a concert dancer, whether it be with Graham, whether it be with ALEE, whether it be with Filadenko.
So
or
you wanted
Hubba
to be part
Street.
Of a troupe.
Right. I wanted to be a part of one of those companies at the time. But then I was like, you know what? I know I can do hip hop. I know I can do all these other things. Let me just go see. And then I got signed to a contract, you know, like immediately. And then they started sending me out for these things. And I randomly did this music video, randomly did all these things. So I ended up going back to Atlanta for a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I was there, my dance teachers, who are really good friends with Andy Blankenbuehler, was like, hey, you know, Andy Blankenbuehler is the choreographer of Hamilton right now. He also did Bring It On. And they were saying, like, hey, he's doing his new show. They're about to take it on the first national tour, which happened to be Bring It On. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I really want to do musical theater. You know, like, I was like, you know, I went to Point Park, which has a great musical theater program. And I always thought that those kids were so weird.
Uh-huh.
You know, we were like concert dancers. We were like so serious. They were like so giddy.
A little snobby thing going on a little bit.
Yeah, okay. For sure. In my head, I was definitely snobby about it. I was like, I don't want to do musical theater. They're like, you know, you should go, because they knew I could sing. I used to sing around a dance studio all the time.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up because you're pretty multi-talented here.
But
you act, you sing, you dance.
I never took it serious. And I wish I did, you know, because I made up for it in the long run having to, you know, train myself, you know, now.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to the audition and didn't think anything would happen of it. And then something did happen of it. And so I was like, you know, I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason. So I just said, okay, well, I'll try this. I'll do a first national tour, make some money. Had no idea that it was real money in doing it.
Uh-huh.
And I must say that definitely helped steer me like, oh, well, maybe I should think about doing this. And then I did the first national tour. And when I got back to the city, I fell in love with musical theater. I fell in love with the people and how warm they were and how the environment was so happy and so cheery. And they didn't, like, one guy, Michael Mentlin, he told me, he was like, don't take yourself so serious. And I had never heard that before. You know, growing up in the dance world, I'd never heard that before. And it was refreshing.
In other words, have fun, too.
Yeah, have fun. Mm-hmm. So it was refreshing to me. And then I said, okay, well, I'll go to another audition. And if I get another gig, then maybe this is what I'm supposed to do. I got Cinderella. And so I said, this is what I'm going to do.
When you're dancing in a musical like that, are you part of the chorus?
Yes.
Explain what that is. You audition to be what?
For different things. Sometimes you audition to be in the ensemble. Sometimes you audition to be in the ensemble and then also to be an understudy to one of the principal roles, which I've done a number of times. Sometimes you do audition to be in the role and then they say, oh, well, maybe she could cover this part or maybe she could be a featured ensemble member, you know. And every time you get a breakdown, it's very clear what you're going in for. You know, the breakdowns, the emails they'll send you saying this is the date of the audition, this is the time. This is what you need to know the character is, or are you going in for? You always know what you're going in for.
Now, it obviously worked in your favor that you were multi-talented, correct?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the fact that you could sing obviously had an impact as well, right? Because that makes you multidimensional.
Yeah, I definitely believe so. Even now when I go back and talk to kids and kids that I mentor, I encourage them as much as possible, be a triple threat. Especially if you want to do musical theater. I mean, there are definitely some people where you know they have, this is their definite strength, and then the other thing,
and
not
so
much.
And they can't carry a tune.
Right. But I also feel like that comes with confidence. Walking in that audition and confidently saying, you know, I may not know I'm a singer, but I'm going to sing today like I'm a singer.
Mm.
You know, and the same goes for the vocalist. I know I'm not a dancer, but I'm going to dance today like I'm a dancer.
Well, you can have two left feet and, I mean, and hit the high notes, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You
can't necessarily...
And the thing about a musical is that we need all of those. We need the strong singers, and you need the strong dancers, you know? So when you can, that's what makes a musical so great, is that it's just like a big, huge, you know, bomb effect of all these beautiful things happening at one time. But I think the confidence is what takes you the furthest, because you can be a great singer, but if you're walking in there with no confidence.
Yeah, with your knees knocking.
You know, how am I supposed to believe that you're going to sell this show for me, you know?
So in other words, when you got to New York and after Bring It On, you just kept going.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep going.
You know, so I saw you not too long ago doing the number from Bubble and Brown Sugar in the American Dance Machine for the 21st Century, kind of resurrecting and recreating musical numbers from hit Broadway shows. You really did blow me away.
Oh, thank you.
It was just so natural for you, wasn't it?
Oh, you know, and part of that being because I was on stage with my friends, people who, even not just through that process, but outside of that process that I met, you know, from just being around the Broadway circuit, the musical theater circuit, who I enjoy being on stage with. And I think that helped that natural that natural energy happened mm-hmm. because we all just vibed. And I was like, this is fun. You know, I'm up here dancing and singing and doing what I love to do with people who I love to be around.
But explain ADM 21, because that's a very confined kind of endeavor. It's not like a long running Broadway show. You audition for this and then it's just a short stint, correct?
Mm-hmm.
In Manhattan. And so everybody kind of comes together for a short time and then you go about your business. Is that a way that you like to live as opposed to, let's say, getting a contract for something like Hamilton and just being in it, you know, for a year?
You know, ADM was a very special experience because I had never really done, besides what I did at City Center, I did Paint Your Wagon at City Center. It was kind of a similar situation where you come in for a short period of time, do a 2-week run, and then it's over.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I dislike the most about those types of processes is that you get to know these people.
And then it's goodbye.
As soon as you become a family, it's like, oh, no, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
So what I love about being in a Broadway show is the fact that you do become family. And you do this long run, and it's a guaranteed, you know, every day this is what my job is. You know, I enjoy that. I enjoy sitting down and having, you know, going to my show, but then being able to go home. I don't really like touring that much.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Touring is rough for me, but I wanted to do Matilda. That's why I went on that tour. I wanted to do that show. I knew it was an incredible show. The team is incredible. I wanted to work with that team. So that's why I went out there. But touring is really rough for me. I enjoy having like
the stability
mm-hmm. of my, and my junior year of college was rough for me. And my mentor at the time, Jason McDowell, always reminded me that you're a human first and an artist second. And when he said that to me, he always told me, you know, you have to take care of that human self. And part of me, I believe, and I stand true to this day, is that I need to be able to go home and totally not be an artist. I need to be able to go home.
And let your hair down.
And let my hair down, have chill time with my friends, watch TV. And mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes you can't do that when you're on tour or mm-hmm. when you're in a shorter running period of show because it all is just happening so fast. You're constantly moving. Whereas like when you're in your show, you're doing your gig,
mm-hmm.
then you go home and you have, you know, your time
mm-hmm.
and you can take care of yourself better.
If you're just joining us, my guest today is dancer and actress and singer, Shanika Gooden. So talk to us now about the experience of being in the Broadway gonzo show Hamilton, which I saw, and all the hype is very legitimate. Did you feel like you died and went to heaven when you got that contract?
I love that show. It's so incredible for so many different reasons. Not only is it just written well, it's historic. It's timeless. It's changing the face of what people believe musical theater can be,
mm-hmm.
and at the same time, I always every night I'm on stage, I'm just like, I get to be a lucky person who gets to come out here and be with all of these talented people, you know, and you can feel that energy resonating off of each and every person on that stage and as well as from the audience.
Mm.
And it's incredible. Even though I'm only there for a short period of time, I'm soaking it up because I know that this is a very special thing that I'm getting to do. And it's a privilege that I'm getting to do that. I'm honored that they trusted me, you know, to come in and be a part of this.
So you're filling in for someone
yes.
who took a leave.
Oh, yes. Once you're a part of the family, you're always a part of the family. You know what I mean? And once you know the show, you know, you can learn different parts. You could come in and out. They'll say, hey, we need somebody to pop in on this tour. We need somebody to pop in and do this Broadway show. Can you do a vacation, someone's vacation for them? You know, they always will have that, especially with the longer running show.
Except that also brings up the fact that if you're, you have to have that accessibility, which could be, I would imagine, a little stressful as opposed to being part of the cast of a hit running show where you know every day where you're going.
Yes.
This is kind of more freelancy, right?
Yeah, in a way. But at the same time, a little beautiful because say if you are experiencing a time where you're not in a show, you're not in a film, you don't have anything,
mm-hmm.
and they give you that call, it's like, oh, great. I know I have something for 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So the fact that you have something else to hold on to, you know, if you do need a job at that time, is also beautiful.
Has there ever been a dry spell for you?
When Cinderella closed, I thought I was going to have a dry spell, which I honestly was kind of looking forward to, you know,
think.
To just have a little break.
Uh-huh.
But then that's when I got the call for Ted 2. And so that was only like ended up being only a 2-week dry spell.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's kind of like how my life has gone. And that's also kind of why I just kind of just go with the flow because
mm-hmm.
I feel like if you try to put your hands into it too much or be manipulative, it just doesn't, that's when it doesn't work.
And you intimated to me that you're still taking lessons.
Oh, yeah. I take voice lessons. I take acting lessons. Absolutely. I go to dance class. Absolutely. You're always constantly training because you have to stay on top of your game. I mean, think about it. These kids are coming fresh out of college. You know what I mean?
And but you're young.
Yeah, but for those kids, like you got like 26 on the body of a dancer as opposed to like someone coming fresh out that's like 21.
That really makes a difference?
Oh, very different, you know? Your body doesn't have the wear and tear.
When do you start not being desirable as a dancer?
Oh, I don't know. Especially, and see, that's the other beautiful thing about musical theater. I feel like it allows you to lengthen out your age as a dancer a little bit because there's roles like Cassie in a Chorus Line mm-hmm. for someone who could be 35, mm-hmm. 40, mm-hmm. you know, but can still hit it.
Gotcha.
You know, and so that's one thing that is beautiful about musical theater that I think in concert dance, it changes a little bit because, mm-hmm. you know, especially for the ballerinas, you know, they like them to look young to do those classical roles. They like their bodies to look a certain kind of way. You still need to be able to, your muscles and everything still need to be able to do the movement, that rigorous amount of movement. I feel like for me, I mean, and this is just my opinion,
sure.
that musical theater kind of lengthens that out a little bit.
So, would you like it if you got a call from Ailey?
You know, I thought about this, and what's interesting about that is every year that I say that I'm going to go to the audition, I get another job. So I'm believing
in
that divinely I'm not supposed to do it, you mm-hmm, know? And mm-hmm. I have friends that are in Ailey, and so I still, you know, support them, and I go, and I still love that company. I love what Robert is doing with it. I think it's incredible. And I've made peace with it. I think it's okay. I think I'm very happy with what my life has become. I'm very happy with the way that my career has turned out, and I'm looking forward to what's in the future.
Do you want to be a star? Do you want to stand out from the ensemble group? I mean, would you like to have a leading role?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's definitely a goal of mine, for sure, especially if it's a role that where I can be a triple threat, like where I can showcase everything. Similar to Georgia Brown in Bubbling Brown Sugar, I would love, mm-hmm. yes, absolutely, I would love to do that. I know that it'll come in due time. I'm just, you know, that's why I still take my lessons and everything so that when that time comes, I can be 110%, no questions about it. She is the one for the part.
So you like to audition?
Ooh. Do mm-hmm. I like to audition?
Well, that must keep you, no pun intended, on your toes. Oh, you didn't have to laugh that hard.
No, that was funny. Okay. No, I don't dislike auditioning, but it would be nice to get to a point where you just get an Audra McDonald mm-hmm. phone call.
Yeah.
You know, it would mm-hmm. be really nice. Because auditioning is another muscle within itself. Mm-hmm. You know, I just did my second audition from coming back from tour, and it feels weird because your attention has to be different. Your focus has to be different. You know, you have to sell yourself, but at the same time, not do it in a desperate way. Be very genuine about that. Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of energy. You know what I mean? To go back in there and compete with the best of the best. So would I say that I like to audition? No, but do I make the best of it by once again being in the room full of people that are my friends and just remembering that, you know, I take it now as a thing where it's not like, oh, I'm better than her. I need to be better than her or him. I take it as we all have something to offer and may the best person win.
Wow.
You know? And I think that by doing that, I take the sweat off of it mm-hmm. and it becomes more like, oh, we just happen to be in class together. Or we just happen to be singing these songs
together.
Well,
you see that all that stereotype about the jealous actress.
Yeah,
or the, you know,
I don't want to be that.
Well,
yeah.
It just certainly doesn't appear that you are. But that, and that you have a real family.
Oh, yeah.
And friends and people that you care about in the theatrical world.
Well, and especially because I think people forget that there are so many things that go into choosing a person for the part, even if it's just in the ensemble. There's so
it's
many
more than
factors.
Talent.
It's more than talent. So when you remember that, you don't. It gives you a chance to not be hard on yourself, and it gives you a chance to not put so much pressure on yourself, you know, and on the situation, because it's like, if I'm supposed to do it, I'm going to do it.
Good grief, woman. You are so grounded. My pleasure to get to know you, to see you perform and have this opportunity to have a conversation with you. Shanika Gooden, you're a real class act.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is awesome. I was truly honored when you asked me. I've never had anybody ask me to do anything like this. So thank you so much.
Well, it just makes perfect sense. dance. I'll tell you what nobody has ever asked me to do, and that's dance.
You sure?
Oh, believe me. Join us for another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. And if you know someone who should be interviewed, contact us at sandyclineshow.com.